I'm gonna chill out because I don't want to turn into the guy that at like says he has booking, but he don't got nothing to book.
No, as soon as, as soon as you put like booking in your bio, bro, like I'm holding you accountable. And I'm calling you out for it every time I see you. Every time.
I'm be like, what do you do?
I book.
We will be out in public together in the grocery store. I'm like, hey yo, book him. What does he do?
I'm a spoken word artist. You can book me. I don't give a dang.
No, I mean, but you do something.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You can book me. You can book me.
I plagiarize. You can. You can for sure book me.
Games to watch.
What's good, family? Welcome to a Modern Hoops podcast, the show with the freshest opinions and views on the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm here with the homies, the squad, the best starting five in the podcast league. My boy, Brian, my boy, TK, the boy, Leek, is not here in his absence. But shout out to the boy, Dunk, man. Keep holding on the camera and the audio. Boys, how are we feeling?
Feeling good, man. We took a week off. We back. New year.
Yeah, yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. I'm feeling good, too. Lee K isn't here, good. So, I mean, yeah.
He's looking good. He's gonna.
All I think about is it could be worse. And you're I try to keep positive.
The light could be gone.
There's a lot of people that are trade spots with me in a heartbeat. That's so
fast. I can't argue with that.
Got to be positive about it.
So, everybody's having a good New Year. Any New Year resolutions y'all working on?
One big one. And it wasn't a New Year resolution. It was something I always wanted to do, but I was like, all right, let me make it a point of emphasis to not be hypocritical.
I like that. I like that.
I'm going to fail sometimes, for sure, but to keep it in my mind, not be hypocritical. Practice what you preach.
I like that energy.
Trying not to be as much of a hater.
Wow.
That?
Y'all heard that?
That is going to be tough.
Leek is sick.
No, wait, no, wait. I'm not even going to do that. That was just middle of me to say. I apologize.
No, I agree with you. It's going to be really tough because that is my nature. It's my personality.
Who'd you talk to about it?
I didn't talk to nobody. It was something like
it was
Wayne. New Year's.
It was Wayne on you?
It wasn't even Wayne. I was just watching basketball because I've been watching a lot of NBA. I got the NBA League pass. I've just been watching a lot of basketball. And I was like,
subtle.
Maybe I'm a little too critical of some guys.
You know what? The first step, though, is acknowledging it. As long as you acknowledge it.
I'm going to try to be as open-minded as possible.
Wow.
Going forward. I'm going to try. Can't promise that I'll be perfect. Yeah, there's going to be moments. But I'm going to try.
I like that energy. What?
Wow.
This pod.
Wow.
It's changing lives. Dunk, you got one?
I do not, but wow.
Keith got a mic. Got to let all the fans know.
You can hear me.
It's not a resolution, but it's definitely a point of emphasis. I think I'm going to try to... I'll do that anyway. I don't know. I think...
Did y'all just see the subtle, humble flex that just went on? Hey, it's not a resolution. Listen. It's a point of emphasis. And right before he's about to speak on what he thinks he needs...
I already do it. I'm already great.
Yeah, like what? You thought I was going to let you slide with that?
I'm going to try to stop having so many humble flex moments. I think I'm going to do that. How about that?
Like you just did?
Okay. Was that humble flex moment?
You're still humble flex.
Exactly.
It's like, man, I'm going to try to be less great today than I was yesterday, I guess.
Oh, man. I think I try to do everything too much. I think I try to like control all aspects.
So
in terms of the pie, in terms of all the things that I'm a part of, I'm gonna like try to relinquish some of that power because I don't have to do everything.
That's beautiful.
That's a great step.
So that means you guys are gonna be
ready. We've been ready.
Yeah. So I'm
let busy
go
that day. That day is you thinking to ask me?
Yeah.
I'm busy.
You busy that day?
Dang, dog man.
Guess what? I thought of 2 days.
Okay. So. Second day, I got you. Okay. Second day, I got you.
All right, but yeah, shout out to all of you, man, all of you who are watching this pod and joining us in the new year. To our Minor Hoops family, we appreciate you. If you are not family, it's real easy to become family. All you gotta do is hit that sub button, hit that like button, hit that notification button, and comment below to join the conversation, because we love talking basketball with all of you on whether you agree or disagree. And that puts out, you know, more impressions and stuff to the people that haven't caught up to us yet. Because we want them to be a part of our family too. And the bigger the family, the better family. So, yeah. You ready?
Hey, man, sure. Let's do it.
Let's get to it. Golden State.
What are they, 3-3?
2-3. Yep. 2-3.
Play tonight.
Play tonight. They play
Portland.
Okay. I do want to talk about one thing about the way they're playing the sets.
Yeah, I want to talk about all of it, so let's get to it.
Okay, but let's get to Golden State first, because a lot of people got choice words for our guy, Steph. One of which, as of late, has been Dame Lillard. As we've seen, we all on Twitter, we all on social media, we all understand a lot of people are saying a lot of things about Steph right now, saying he's not a leader. I heard Kendrick Perkins say that, but we know how we feel about Kenny. we're hearing a lot of things, and one of the questions that is coming up now due to the struggles of Golden State is that, is it possible Steph Curry is a front runner? And I want to ask you guys that, because I was like, I know how I feel. I think we all know how we feel about this situation, because we've talked about how Steph Curry has been disrespected. But this has been a conversation, and it's been an emphasis because the team is struggling, because they are 2-3, and so everybody's just automatically comparing him to LeBron and what LeBron has done with, I guess, talent equal or maybe less than what's been seen from Golden State right now. And so, yeah, is Steph Curry a front runner?
Front runner as in?
Like his mentality. Is he a front runner?
Is he only good because of the talent he's surrounded by? So.
No. Like, I don't get it. I honestly don't. I don't get it. Steph Curry, and I know Brian always goes off with his small guard scenario, which makes a whole lot of sense, and I respect. But everybody seems to think that Steph Curry has so much to prove and et cetera, and maybe it was only because the team was that good. Hands down, every single last year, during those 5 years, Steph Curry was the best player on that team until Kevin Durant got there, of course. And there was not a negative thing. I think this is just a whole lot of people waiting to pick out Steph.
Yeah.
It's just your turn now. We can finally say something about you.
So the comment Dame made, I think it was on the... You got it?
I'll pull it up. I was wondering. It looked like you was
pulling it up. I got it. I think, where was he? I can't remember exactly where he was on, what show he was on.
I think it was just after the game. It was a post game.
Okay. So he said, and I quote, "With the injuries the Warriors are dealing with and Steph playing with the younger team right now, he's seeing that it's tough to get those quality looks right now. It's different than what it's looked like the last 4 or 5 years for him. He's trying to get quality looks and get clean looks so he can make a good one. He don't really have the luxury to just take one from that deep just to be taking it." So, yeah, this essentially sparked the whole, and I think it sparked a lot of the controversy, but definitely added on to it, because a lot of people were looking at last year and saying, oh, well, if Steph didn't get hurt, it's possible we could have seen this same type of play. They would have been struggling. They still probably been at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But he got injured, so he got the pass. And this year, they start off struggling again. They're losing. Let's not take into account the fact, we're going to talk about disappointments and stuff like that, but one of the biggest disappointments right now has to be Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Kelly. For sure. 100%. You can't throw a rock in the ocean. Mind you, your man's is right there, too. Luka.
Luka's still getting wins and triple doubles.
He is. And he's hands down a better player than Kelly. Hold up. From everybody, we have to calm down. We're 5-6 games into a season. Right. The Warriors are 2-3.
I totally agree.
And then out of the gate, they had to play arguably the two hardest teams you're going to have to play in the East, in the Nets and in the Bucks.
Yeah.
And this is Curry's first season back without your number two running mate. Like, it's a whole lot that goes into that Golden State team.
I mean, you're number two.
And Draymond hasn't been playing.
So
you're an entirely different roster than what you were in that 2019 finals run. Like, people are thinking that, Steph is back, they have to go on another run. Like, it should be that easy if you're that good. Steph is playing on an entirely new team. Like, entirely right now. The only thing that's really left that are on
There's three players left from that team that went to the finals in 2019. Kevon Looney and Draymond Green. That's it.
And Draymond hasn't been playing.
Right. And Kevon Looney is a bench player.
So what are we really talking about? Like, you... And we're also trying to get these new guys adjusted to a system.
Yeah.
A system that is going to have to be tweaked or changed dramatically, especially when you don't have a Klay Thompson like that on the floor to alleviate the pressure away from Steph. So it's...
Or just I understand a guy what, not going 36%.
All right. Is Steph a front runner? No.
Okay.
Steph Curry is who he's always been. One of the best players in the NBA. I need the narrative to stop of he's only been good since Steve Kerr's been there. I've gone back. I've looked at the rankings. You want to know the lowest ranked I can find Steph Curry going into that Steve Kerr season? Eighth. Eighth best player in the NBA. I saw him ranked as high as fourth going into the Steve Kerr season.
How quickly did they forget?
like, let's please understand what we're saying here. Steph Curry has been a top 10 player in the NBA before Steve Kerr, and he's been a top 3 player since Steve Kerr. There's no way around that. So to call him a front runner just doesn't make sense, especially when you consider, I'm sorry, Dame, Russ, Harden, all phenomenal players. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. But if you really want to talk about the Golden State Warriors before Kevin Durant got there, please tell me how Damian Lillard hasn't had a team somewhat comparable to what Steph had. See, I put out a poll. I put out a random poll. I put CJ's numbers and Klay Thompson's numbers side by side. Mm-hmm. Everything. Points, assists, shooting percentage, PER, box plus minus. I put everything side by side in a poll.
Stat guy.
No, I'm listening.
But once again, it wasn't even like a stat thing. I really wanted to people.
It was anonymous, right? It was just anonymous.
I put their names. Player A is this. Player B is this.
And most people went with what, CJ?
95% went with CJ.
CJ's a buck. Shout out CJ.
I'm a huge fan of CJ.
Dumbbag. That's his nickname now. Dumbbag.
But like, here's the thing. CJ, since he stepped into the starting lineup in Portland, has been a 20-point scorer.
Yep.
Since. Before that, LaMarcus Aldridge was there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Third team All-NBA. One of the best bigs in the league. Dame has played with quality talent his entire career. I will not say he's played with the best talent in the league, but he's had comparable talent. Yeah. Now, granted, I get it. Al Frukaminu, Andre Iguodala, yeah, Iguodala's better. But in terms of the role that they're asked to play on the court, Aminu's asked to do roughly the same thing Iguodala does. Iguodala's probably a better playmaker, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like, Yusuf Nurkic, Draymond Green. Draymond's probably a better overall player, and Nurkic is bigger, though. Probably scores a little bit better. Like, these are comparable. Once again, is Golden State better? A little bit. James Harden, do we really need to go down the list of teammates? Like, really?
No.
I mean, no.
Like, do we really need to go down the list of teammates he's brought and kicked out?
I feel like the goalpost always moves for Steph. And that, it was when KD got there, it was like, okay, you're playing with KD. I watched Steph Curry have 0 points and a half, no KD, and finished with 30 on that James Harden Rockets team.
33.
And then I also watched him, no KD, sweep Portland, and I understand what we're going to say, whether it's going to be Dame was dealing with injuries, et cetera, et cetera. It's the playoffs. Generally, everybody's dealing with something. And if you step on that floor, have I always been saying on this podcast, but I'm not going to
give you...
You get no excuses if you step on that floor. But that goes back to your point.
It's the moving of the goalposts. Because if you flip that and then say, well, we all know Steph Curry was injured in 2016. Even the Cavs say they knew he was hurt. That's why they targeted him.
But
no, he was playing. He was unanimous MVP, and they lied.
So
why does Dame get this pass every... And people always thought, well, like, Steph can't hold up through a season. Yeah. Well, clearly Dame can't either.
Kawhi Lowe manages. I'm not, and that's no disrespect to any of these guys. Exactly. But why they're is it when it comes to Steph, it's always a negative. But everybody else, it's like they're use it as a crutch to defend from people who are gonna attack them rather than keep it the same way. Yeah, just keep the same energy.
The fallacy is definitely there. You can definitely see it's clear cut. So I guess the question then becomes, or you got something else to say?
No, like I said, it's this weird thing of like, and
no, go
the,
ahead.
The video, by the numbers video I've worked on, like, is this weird thing.
Drop that soon.
It's this weird thing of people forget that Steph Curry has done and could do what other star guards can do, which is be a ball dominant pick and roll point guard. We saw it with Mark Jackson. He was the only player in the league in 2014 who was top 10 in assists and scoring. The only player in the league. We watched him do it. So to sit here and act like, well, he can't do that, he refuses. Like, no. Steph, and I'll say this, I will go to my grave saying this. He literally is the one small guard who figured out how to break the game. And it's with off-ball movement, not dominating the ball. Because any other small guard you want to bring up, Dame, AI, Nash,
they dominated the ball.
They're a ball-dominant guard, and for the most part, 99% of them did not win. The only other one that did was Isaiah Thomas. And lo and behold, look what he had to work with. Joe Dumars, who, if you want to be honest, very comparable to Klay Thompson and what he was asked to do.
Yep.
Dennis Rodman, very comparable to Draymond Green and what he was asked to do.
Facts.
Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, Mark Aguirre. I mean.
Team deep.
Team deep. Because that's how you win as a small guard. You can't be, I'm going to do everything. Because guess what? You're 6'2".
Yeah.
You can't do it. LeBron can. He's 6'9", 260. KD can. Magic Johnson is the outlier. He's 6'9". Small guards cannot dominate the ball and win championships consistently.
Yeah.
Iverson, I do not want to hear about Iverson, but so much. He did it one time in a weak Eastern Conference and never got close again.
Big shout out, AI.
Fantastic, phenomenal run, but let's not act like he did that consistently.
One time is enough for me.
I feel you. Like I said, much respect for that one run, but it's not a recipe for success.
No, when you bring up your small guard, like
Russell West, I don't care what guard you want to bring up.
Yeah, you make a whole lot of sense when you bring it up. And like I said, specifically bringing to your point that you think that Steph Curry broke the game, like figured it out for small guards, he did take an alternative route. And one of those alternative routes actually had him with a lot of help. So people always want to point to the help that Steph Curry has with Klay Thompson. A lot of people saying that he's not getting enough love and respect. Klay Thompson has always gotten enough love. I don't know when that narrative started, as if people just overlooked. So, a couple years ago, there were arguments whether he was the best two guard in the league. So what are we talking
about?
Here's
what's happening. Here's what I'm seeing. The media and casual fans are taking this opportunity due to the weekend situation of Golden State. They're taking this opportunity to take hits at Steph's legacy. So as they're losing, as they're missing shots, we look at the situation where, oh, y'all lost to this team. Y'all wouldn't have lost to this team because y'all went 73-9 if Klay was there. So that
and
means...
Iguodala. And Iguodala.
And Iguodala. And
Andrew Bogut.
And
Harrison... I think Steph Curry would beg for Harrison Barnes right now. I really do.
I mean, they're looking at this situation and they're saying like, oh, well, this is an opportunity to take hits at Steph and kind of beat at his legacy in a sense, because we have nothing else, honestly, to take shots at. You can't take shots at his style of play, because his style of play would suggest all those numbers Brian brings up whenever he talks about Steph Curry. You can't take into account his leadership, because we've seen how his leadership panned out when you added in a figure like Kevin Durant and they still kept winning.
Seamless.
And then before he was there and how they were 73-9 and they won a championship the year before that. Like, we've seen his leadership come into play. So it isn't like, what are we taking shots at now?
I'm really
only
confused
thing,
about
the
that.
Only
I'm
thing
trying
we can
to figure
look
that out
at,
too.
The only thing we can look at is say, he's losing because somebody's not there. And that's all they can say.
And I think...
And so the conversation now becomes Golden State was overhyped the whole time.
Well, I think it's people... I've said this from jump. Steph Curry will always be one of the most misunderstood superstars in history. Simply on the fact of, like I said, he changed the game. Jump shooting was not supposed to be the way you win. Ever. We all heard that growing up.
Yeah.
You don't win shooting jump shots. Especially from 35 feet. And then, well, Steph Curry did it. And then kept doing it. And kept doing it. And then it was, well, we're going to try to copy him. But let's be honest, there's still nobody in the league that does what Steph does. Like, Dame is great. And he's pulling up from 30. And he's doing it. But it's still.
I was watching Trey Young. I was like, man, he's this kid's special, but
it's not that same.
It ain't the same. It ain't the same.
And Trey Young is balling right now.
Oh, he's going crazy.
Like, he looks amazing.
I'm loving what Atlanta's doing.
Facts. They look great. They're kind of proving my point because Danilo ain't played yet. Almost like they don't need him. Anyway.
Hey, Brian, you said you were working on the hating.
How's that hating?
We're not hating.
How's that hating?
Danilo just called a stray for no reason.
No, I think Danilo's a phenomenal player. I just always thought Atlanta didn't need him. He could have went anywhere and been a good contributor.
Okay.
All right. That's all I'm saying.
I'll take it back.
Anyway.
Right. I'll holster the gun.
But that's it. Trey Young, even Kyrie, who started off balling, like, there's not the same magic there that we saw with Steph Curry, especially that unanimous MVP season.
Yeah.
So now people are looking at it, and Golden State is floundering in water, and we're going to talk about that for a number of reasons. And it's like, well, Steph can't carry. He can't do what Iverson did or Westbrook did or whoever you want to throw in that conversation. And it's like, but he did already.
Like, no, he did more.
He did more. And that's the thing. Like, people want to say, well, he always had Klay Thompson. I'm like, okay. Like, can we please stop the Klay Thompson's a superstar thing? He's a really, really, really good player.
I had to be careful. I got a little nervous for a second.
He's an all-star, but he's not a superstar. Like,
okay.
Like, he's not a superstar. Leak has had this discussion for years now where I say, I don't think Klay Thompson is the number one option on a contending team.
Yeah, we had this conversation.
Yeah, we always have that conversation. And Klay Thompson, Hall of Famer, for sure. Perennial All-Star. Probably the best 3-and-D person when healthy in the league. Like, yeah. I can't say enough good things about Klay Thompson.
Fact.
But I think, in retrospect, what is happening is a lot of times, especially when you see superstars, they hit their humps early. And with Steph, it was like injuries. Like, 2-3 good years with Mark Jackson, and boom, championships, finals, 5 years in a row, where generally it's like, oh, now we're going to get knocked in the first a couple years, second a couple years. They want to see those steps.
Right.
And since it seemed like it went from injuries and immaturity in terms of, like, not being in your prime yet, mm-hmm. to as soon as you get everything you need, you're winning chips, everybody's now want to see, because this is what, when people say Steph Curry needs to prove something this year, what they're literally saying are, Steph Curry needs to lose with a bad mob in the first round of the playoffs for me to respect him. That's stupid. That's really stupid.
Like, it's really stupid.
Wasn't he losing in the playoffs in 2014?
I mean, like I said, that's what are we talking about? Like,
he's shown that he could do that.
We saw those steps, though. That's the thing. We saw the steps. Like, going back to what you said, like, his rookie year, 17 points a game, 6 assists. Next year, 18 points, 6 assists. He gets hurt his third year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really play much. Only plays 26 games. Then he comes back. Mark Jackson becomes the coach. And they immediately go to the playoffs. They win the first round of the playoffs without David Lee, who was the all-star that season. Yep.
And that's when they figured out what they had in Draymond Green.
Not necessarily, because David Lee started the very next season.
Yeah, but there was definitely conversations where Mark Jackson was like, oh.
He loved Draymond.
Like, oh, Draymond could be something special. Yeah,
he thought Draymond Green was an NBA player. I don't think he thought he was this, but he definitely thought Draymond was an NBA player. But David Lee, still on team, like I said, he wins the first round of the playoffs, beats Iggy, by the way, in the first round, you know, because he also needs Iggy to save him, apparently, and beats him in the first round of the playoffs, then loses to the Spurs, who ended up beating the brakes off Miami.
Yep.
He took him to 6. LeBron only took him to 5, I'm just saying. Anyway, then the next season comes around. Golden State has their first 50-win season in 20 years because Steph Curry is the only all-star on the team. And makes second team all NBA. And they lose in the first round to the Clippers in 7.
And I remember that series. It was a really fun series.
It was a great series. It was a great series to watch. Yeah, they just lost.
The Lob City era.
They just lost. Okay. He loses in the first. So that's a second round and a first round next. And then Steve Kerr becomes a coach and then his championships. What step did we miss here? Was he supposed to go to the Western Conference Finals and lose next?
No, he just didn't do enough losing for people.
That's what it is. That's what it feels like. People wanted to see him take lumps, and it was like, nah, I don't feel like it.
It's weird. Because they want to see you take lumps, but then at the same time, when you do take lumps, like,
they blame you for it.
It's like, oh, something's wrong with you. Maybe you're not as elite as we thought you were. So we're just goalposts moving. I mean, there's no other way around it. Fact. And so, I guess y'all answered the question as well. Are the Warriors overhyped this season?
Overhyped this season?
Warriors? I don't think they were really... I think as soon as Klay went down, like, everybody, like, the air just kind of went out.
Yeah, championship expectations were done.
Now, honestly, it was just like, all right, y'all are just fighting to be in the playoffs now.
I definitely will say I had a little bit higher expectations, but just seeing how this is playing out, and I got to admit, my faith in Steve Kerr is faltering.
I feel like on this pod, I brought up a couple of pods ago. I was like, we need to start looking at Steve Kerr.
And I've always, like I said, I've always been a firm believer in Steve Kerr's system.
The jury's out.
You're going to have to adjust because you can't run that system with this mob.
And I definitely put on Twitter, I was like, hey, Steve, you got like, I'm giving you 20 games. I'm giving you 20 games before I start to throw you in the Doc Rivers category. Where you're a really good coach. You're solid. You're good with a certain type of team. But you don't adjust well at all. And like I said, I'm giving them 20 games. We're 5 in, so.
So 15 more.
15 more.
Okay.
We're going to see what happens.
No, it's still really early in the season. It's really early.
I do need, once again, just going back to Steph. Like, everybody's talking about how bad Steph is playing. Like, he's averaging 26 and 7 assists on a shooting slump.
No, people just really want to see him go 2016 again. And I'm just like, yo.
I was checking out some breakdowns on that Portland game. I think it was a Portland game.
He missed a lot of wide open shots.
And I was also looking at the fact that there was, I think, three occasions where there were three bodies just standing next to him. It was three opposite jerseys just like,
because who's going to hit a jump shot? Kelly?
Not right
Kelly,
now.
Kelly, I it can say that about you, Kelly. I big up to you, so I can tear you down right now.
Yeah. Like, they won't checking them. They won't checking them. There was no point for
would
set.
You?
They were trying
would
to. You? I think it was Wiseman one time. He was trying to set a screen. He didn't know who to set a screen on. It was like three bodies there.
Three guys.
I was like.
And they were checking them at like 35 feet.
Yeah.
It won't like. They was waiting for him to come down. They was like, yep, 35 feet from the basket.
Without Klay Thompson on that floor, everything is just like, all right, we can throw as many bodies as. We do whatever because it's just Steph.
Yeah.
So it's weird. And like I said, this kind of goes back to Steve Kerr where it's. And like I said, I've watched every Golden State game. I've put myself through the torture. I felt like at the end of that Detroit game, it was starting to click a little bit. I think I even messaged you on Twitter about it. And we were going back and forth talking about Steve Kerr. And I was like, oh no, they're starting to make a few adjustments. They were putting Andrew Wiggins in a few more pick and rolls. They were kind of changing the system a little bit. Like there was one play in the Detroit game that was like perfect signature of that. They did a classic Warrior set. Steph swung into the middle, cut through. Started to come out. They swung it around. And Andrew realized as the ball started to swing, oh, the greatest shooter of all time is coming around. I should go set the screen for him.
Right.
And he went and said it. Steph popped off. Catch and shoot. Boom. Done. Play over. And it was like, that's what they got to figure out. It's that thing of how do you figure out how to tell these guys who've never played with that before.
Right.
Y'all
this is
have
not
to,
a stand and watch situation. This is a – you. We have to help Steph dominate this game in a way, and it's weird to say that, but that I think there's another term for it, but I can't figure it out.
It's always been the thing with Golden State of, and this is what made, and truth be told, I think the people they miss the most
are the old guys.
Yeah, Iggy, David West, Andrew Bogut, like these guys who just
Livingston,
understood.
Yeah,
like yo, we're going to set screens for the best shooter of all time and the second greatest shooter maybe of all time. Like, we don't need to do too much. We don't need Kelly to drive on three people and try to finish over them.
Oh, that was bad.
I mean, but and Andrew's done it a few times. Pascal's done it a few times. Like, it's all of the young guys who are just like, well, Steph's not open right now, so I got to make a play instead of like, well, Steph's going to get open. Like, that's what he does. He's going to get open.
Let him run through there.
Just let him work. And here's
move,
the thing.
Just move the ball and you move. Right?
Exactly.
Move the ball and you move. It's going to find him again. And when it does, good things happen.
But granted, when you talk about superstars in today's like game,
He's the only one
who doesn't dominate the ball like that. So.
I mean, we're going to talk about one guy.
He broke the game.
We're going to talk about two
guys. He broke the game.
No, that's a fair assessment. He's the only one who doesn't just sit there. He's the only one who won't dribble 20 seconds out of the shot clock when he's bringing it up.
There's two perfect examples where one is succeeding and the other is not. Russell Westbrook is one. He hadn't won a game in a Washington uniform yet.
Not yet.
They're like 1-5.
He didn't play that game.
He didn't play that game.
He didn't play that game?
He didn't play that game. He has not won a game yet.
They played Brooklyn today.
He ain't winning that game.
I don't know. Brooklyn don't play no defense. Yeah.
They don't, man.
He might get up for that game.
He might go off.
But the situation like that, where you're looking at a guy like dominates the ball, you know he can do it. Talent-wise, he can do it, but it's not.
He's always picked his spots. In the Steve Kerr system, he's always picked his spots.
And then you have a guy like Russ, or you have a guy like Harden, who is going crazy right now.
Facts.
And then you're like, oh, shoot, well, this is successful, so I don't really have to move. If I've seen more of that, and coming up in the AAU culture where basketball really sticks a lot on a star, you know, it sticks a lot on that number one ESPN 150, or if you got three of them, then yeah, I just wait till he scores, and then we go back down, don't play defense, or come back and do it again with another guy. It's really easy just to fall in love with that. And all these guys are that. All of them. Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins.
They're all young
Kelly
guys.
Oubre. Like, Pascal.
Even Wiseman.
Wiseman. Like, they are that player. The AAU, just give me the ball, get out the way. Or you take the ball and I'll get out your way. And just run.
Like, they need. So, this is where, like I said, and this is the question for Steve Kerr. How much do you change and how much do you simplify to make this team the max version of itself?
I'm really interested to see the balance.
And that's why I'm saying I'm trying to give Steve Kerr time, because I think it's something that's going to be really difficult to figure out. It's very difficult to figure out when your two wings, one is shooting 4% from three and the other one's shooting, well, actually Wiggins is shooting like 41% from three right now. But it's hard to figure out when you have guys who aren't making shots. That's the whole team, even Steph.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to figure out what. Like, that's the thing. Like, the first two games of the season, I threw out for them because it was so bad. It was so bad how badly they shot the ball and how well the other team shot the ball that it was just like, oh, those should not count.
Yeah, Brooklyn went bananas.
Even Milwaukee went bananas. Chris Middleton didn't miss. And then you saw the same thing with Portland the other night. They started the game off 7 of 8 from three. It was like, is every team going to have their career night against the Warriors?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
They might.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, at least for the first part of the season. Because we have to remember, Steph hasn't played. This is his first time playing NBA ball since when?
It's been a year and some change.
It's been over.
Before
it's been
COVID.
Over,
yeah, it's been a year and some change.
And that's what I'm saying. It's been extended because the season took a break, then it didn't finish until October.
I'm not shocked that the Warriors shooting. Well, I'm shocked that it's this bad.
I'm not shocked.
But the fact that everybody's shooting like
their
opponents are shooting 45% from three against them.
I'm not, man.
That's ridiculous. That would be an NBA record.
If you've been getting killed by this one mob for
5 years. Everybody's going to get up against you.
I get losing.
And then like you said, there's a chip. There's a target on Steph's back just because he's Steph. Like we have knighted him as the LeBron killer. We've knighted him as all these things. So, and everyone's looking at him and say, I'm just as good as him. Now it's false, but they're saying it.
I was gonna say only like three people can say that.
Possibly.
But a lot of people feel like they can make the case.
I feel you.
And so, we're going to get up for this. I'm a dunk on Steph. I'm a shoot over Steph. I'm going to ISO him out. I'm going to cook this kid while I got the opportunity before Draymond gets back, before Klay gets back, because back to reality.
Like I said, I get them losing. Like I said, I was fully prepared for them to lose the Brooklyn and Milwaukee game. Fully prepared. I was like, they're going down 0-2.
The best thing I saw in the Brooklyn game was Kevin Durant coming back off his Achilles. Facts. Looking that great.
He was good.
Because you said it too. You said, if he came back off that Achilles, Clay's going to the same doctor, and he's coming back too. Facts. We're straight.
We're good. And John Wall, because John Wall looks good too.
John Wall looks pretty good.
But yeah, like those two games, I was fully prepared for the Warriors to lose. It was so bad. Like as a coach, when you see a game, like, come on, you've been a player. When it's like there's a game where nothing goes right.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You walk in the gym, and it's already like, yo.
We're down 20?
Yeah.
Like, the game just started. We're down 20.
You blink.
Yeah.
It's like, those games you just throw out. You don't talk about them. You don't, hey, guys.
I was watching Kyrie hit up, pull up trays. I was just like, all right. Yep.
We got to, let's come into practice. Let's work on our execution. Like, all the right things, you know.
And that's why, like I said, the Chicago game, they pulled it out. Once again, it wasn't good. It wasn't a great game by Golden State by any stretch, but they looked better. Granted, it was worse competition, which is what you need in the NBA sometimes.
Big shot by Lee.
Big shot by Damian Lee, who I think needs to start now. But that's a whole different discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But then they played Detroit, who they looked way better against. Yeah. And it was like, once again, not great, but better. And it was like, okay, their confidence is coming. They're getting better. And then Portland comes out and goes 70% from three in the first half on them. It's like, what do you do if every team's going to shoot like this against you? And granted, Golden State's defense has been trash.
Yeah.
But like,
a lot of defense has been trash.
Facts. But like, they're the team that's just getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Yusuf Nurkic was hitting threes in that game, and it was like,
okay,
what do we do? It's not our night, fellas.
I mean, yeah. So for me, the jury's still out in this situation. I'm not going to call it overhyped yet. I'm not gonna put Steve Kerr in any category just yet. Or I'm going to give him longer than 20 games, for sure. I think I'm going to give him more like 30, more 40.
Fair.
So just kind of see like exactly. If they fall somewhere in that 6-7 range after 40 games, I'm like, okay, cool.
They need to be 500 after this 20.
That's what I said.
We both said it. We were like, hey, after the first one, they need to be at least 500. If they're that, they're good.
Okay.
Now, the Marquese Chris injury hurt.
Yeah.
They need to go get a big man now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, jury's still out. More of the story for that one.
Stop disrespecting stuff.
Chill out. He's great. We're going to keep saying that. We might be the biggest Steph fans in podcast history.
That ain't true.
He's having AI numbers right now.
We might be the biggest Steph fans in podcast history.
Nah, I don't know. I'm just not going to hate on nobody for no reason.
We can run down all the episodes we had about Steph. I mean, the Bomani Jones incident. I mean, this.
Because what real reasons are there to hate about Steph? Let's be real. Like, as a basketball player,
that he's been fortunate. Like, that's honestly what it feels
that
like.
Every time he had the opportunity to do something great, that
he did. He
generally stepped up.
He has one bad playoff series on his resume. One.
Brooklyn Nets.
Ooh. Your guys.
Brooklyn Nets, first impressions. I kind of hit on it a little bit. KD is back.
They're just moving well. That's what I'm really excited to see.
He looks good. He looks really good.
Yeah.
KD looks great. Kyrie is looking like Kyrie.
Yep.
They did lose Spencer Dinwiddie. That's a big loss.
Yeah, that was
big loss.
Big one.
But I believe they are 3-2 right now.
3-3.
Okay. So 3-3. They lost to Atlanta last, I believe.
Yeah, because they had a home and home against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are your first impressions of them?
They're moving well. That's what I'm really excited to see. It's just, as y'all said, like, KD's back. Like, as long as they keep moving with fluidity like that, that offense is looking crazy. Of course, nobody's been playing defense this entire year, but they're looking like they're looking focused too. You can see it in their face.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things that I didn't expect to see so much, it looks like Kyrie's trying to empower the younger players as well on the court.
Okay.
I'm not sure about like locker room chemistry or anything like that. Like, it hasn't been long enough in a year.
He hasn't said nothing.
Or even speculate.
Yeah, he ain't said nothing yet.
But from what we can see on the court and how they play, it looks like all of them are bought in and focused. It's going to take some time now. Like I told people, I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets are hovering like just above 500 after 20 games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The scary part is when it does click all the way for the one. When we see the Nets in midseason form, you know, granted, knock on wood, no more injuries. Even without Spence, that's going to be a super scary team.
Yeah. B?
Yeah, they're exactly what I thought they'd be. If Kevin Durant's healthy, which he looks to be healthy. So they look really great when shots are going in and KD and Kyrie are hitting. They look really great. And if anybody goes cold for a stretch, they look mortal. And I think that's going to be the case with them all season. Like, they're an ISO team that's going to rely on KD, Kyrie, to a lesser extent, Caris LeVert. And if they make shots, they're good. If they don't, they're mortal.
I looked at this. I watched both Atlanta games. And, of course, I watched the Brooklyn versus Golden State. And two things that I saw, and y'all mentioned one, they don't play any defense. Like, I don't think they're going to play any defense.
I can say this. They try.
I've seen the effort.
So
I don't know they have, about that.
I've said it. They have a very Clippers-like mentality of we're going to try when it's national TV, when it's spotlight, big game bay. Like, yeah, we're going to turn it on and try then. But if it's a regular night against Atlanta, nah. We'll outshoot you that night.
It's the same thing that I'm giving to the Golden State Warriors and to a lot of these teams, specifically coming off of this COVID Invitational Championship, which y'all were talking about, or like just the irregularity of this entire NBA season. This is a team that is just now being put out on the floor together.
Right.
So they're still figuring out. Like, I didn't expect the Brooklyn Nets to have it figured out by game six.
No, of course not.
So the things,
terms of rotations and all of that, yes, they're just definitely
playing on the court together. I don't think it's supposed to even click yet.
I think there's
something that time can't replace. Like, I remember when the Miami Heat first got together with LeBron and everything, and they struggled.
9-8.
And everybody was like, oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. I was like, this is a newly constructed team. This is supposed to happen. It's supposed to be bumps and bruises at the very beginning of the season.
Okay. I'll give you that.
And
I didn't need to be refreshed on what happened in that first, I guess, 10, 15 games. Oh, I'm 20 games. First 20 games of Miami Heat that year.
It was,
but I don't think defensively they were that.
Yeah, they weren't horrible.
Empty.
It was more offense. It was like, where is everybody supposed to be?
Right.
Are Wade and LeBron taking turns?
Yeah, I would say LeBron didn't understand that you're supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ben Upchurch, he'll find it because he always finding stuff in the comments. But shout out Ben. But in terms of Brooklyn, I'm sorry. This is a it's one thing when it's effort or like, you're not in the right place, and I can see you were trying, but you're not in the right place and all that in the third. That's Atlanta. John Collins was getting so
Atlanta
many
has
free
been looking phenomenal this
Atlanta
week.
Has a top tier offense.
So really
I'm not going to.
Yeah, and we're going to hold some stake offense, in the first so no five games of the that. Season. Then Atlanta's looking like they're going to be a top five seed.
Charlotte.
Atlanta.
Yeah, like this is all irregular. And it's going to balance out by the middle of the season.
It's definitely going to balance out. Atlanta is definitely a top-tier offense. But if I look at, we go back to the comparables of who's on the court in terms of position by position, I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, Kyrie should be able to stay in front of, Trey.
Trey?
He should be.
All right, let's stop. Trey goes, bro.
He goes, but isn't that not Kyrie?
No, it's a certain level of, like, offense that people have where I don't care who you are, you're going to have trouble, like, no, I don't think Kyrie should just be able to stay in front of Trae Young, to be honest. I don't.
Yes.
I don't think there's many point guards in the NBA that can stay in front of Trae Young. I don't think
most point guards can't stay in front of any point guard in the league, to be honest. That's basketball.
Like, I'm not gonna tear Kyrie down for being able to
agree
stick
with Trae
Young.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, though. Like,
I don't know, but Trae Young, the guy who just gave us 30 last year? That guy.
No, but like,
come on,
I understand what Greg's saying, because it goes back to the same things I said about the Clippers last year, where it was like, yes, there are definitely things there that are like, yes, they have all the potential to be great. No doubt about it. The pieces are there. But there are a few things there that make you go,
yeah, that's alarming.
And for me, it's alarming watching Atlanta, which is also a newly formed team for the, I mean,
for the most part.
You got a lot of pieces in there.
They're about newly formed as Brooklyn. About newly formed as Brooklyn.
A newly formed team in a situation where, okay, we are watching Trey, John Collins, and you got two rim protectors in DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen. And Cam Reddish had 22 the first one, right? I can't remember how much he had the second one. But he's been playing pretty well, too.
Yeah, he looks good.
He looks really good. Yeah, yeah. My bad, Cam. Nah, no, my bad. I was the jury was out. I take that back. But, yeah, so I was just like, this doesn't, this feels entire, it looked like there was practice players on the other side of the court. Like, that's how empty it looked on that side of the floor. And it definitely showed itself in the second game. Maybe they didn't get up for it because it was like, we just played them. We don't care. We trying to get on to the next spot. You're going to
see a lot of that, too.
Yeah, because they're playing sets, and which is also a thing that's been on my mind in terms of.
Weird.
They're playing almost this baseball-style schedule where we play at y'all house, we come back, play with y'all, and then we get y'all out the way, we go to the next one and do the same thing over and over and over until we have those special games, or those holiday-type games. And so, I don't know. I like Brooklyn. I still think that it's a possibility that Steve Nash can win Coach of the Year because that mob is just
that offense that is mob just is just be so talented. Fun to watch.
I have yet to see a set for anybody else outside of Joe Harris.
Facts.
I have not seen. Maybe
everybody else is one on one, baby.
Everybody else. Everybody
just out in transition. Just go.
So I think he's the only person I've really seen.
Hey, we need a quick three, y'all.
Of sets. He runs one for him every game.
Yeah.
To start the game. So
can you blame him though?
No, it's smart. Smart. Don't get us wrong.
Get your shooter one up early. Yeah. I ain't mad.
Get him in rhythm.
So, but I think that's I'm curious because they're gonna need that. And I'm sure Mike D'Antoni got one over there. So he got one in the tuck. Maybe he got one set. Maybe.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess.
So they can play with, but. I don't know. Those are my big question marks for Brooklyn right now. Defense, because
they don't have any top tier defenders.
If they fall into that Clipper mentality,
because Jordan has clearly taken a step back.
I mean, but even like Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan, it's like, once again, are they guarding Jason Tatum?
No, not on the wings.
Are they guarding Jaylen Brown right now?
I think what we're not talking about right now is, excuse me. KD's generally one of the best defenders on the floor, regardless of who's on the floor.
He's a help side defender. He's not a one-on-one.
But now he's just coming back off of that. Like, KD hasn't played in how long? Since 2019?
Yeah.
Like, this is, when I say, like, yeah, this is all first six game worries, I see the points that they're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
But before I'm even going to even sweat about it a little bit, I have to first think, like, first six games of the season.
Yeah, like, that's
Kevin Durant hasn't played in.
And that's the thing. I'm trying not to pick too much.
I think for what I can see, considering circumstances, I think they're doing fine.
Yes. I'm trying.
Now, if they continue at this pace where, like, if their trajectory isn't what I'm expecting it to be, how I expect them to pick up on these stuff.
And that's like the season goes on. Top two, top three seed in the East.
Yeah. If it doesn't look like that, now we have some issues and some problems. But as of right now, I'm just thinking everybody's just getting some funk out of them. And one of the biggest things, takeaways I've seen from the beginning of the season, how important it is for fans to be there.
Oh man, because the
energy is
weird.
And a lot of that is on the defensive end.
I think that's hurting Steph a lot too.
It's hurting a lot of people. Not just the Nets, not just Steph, not just.
I mean, yeah, it's hurting everybody.
It's really out there where I'll see somebody just break away, windmill, dunk, and you don't hear anything for real. It's like, even at home watching it, I'm a little less excited than I generally am.
The crowd audio, which is nasty.
It's a lot of getting adjusted to, which is why I think I'm taking everything with a grain of salt until like the first 30 games or so are done. And after that, it's just like, all right, bro, like y'all had to be adjusted by now.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I believe Brooklyn will firmly be a top three seed in these.
Yeah, they should be.
No doubt.
Yeah, they should be.
Like I said, I think, once again, I'm trying not to make too many parallels with Clippers. Just like, I see problems that I'm just like, you have to fix these. Like, and for LA, it was like, oh, y'all have no point guard and y'all have no rim protection. Those are your two problems. They never fixed them. They got exposed for it. For Brooklyn, it's like, y'all lack premier defenders. And like, anybody. Like, there's nobody on that team. You're like, oh, we can throw him on Giannis. Or we can throw him on Jason Tatum. Or we can throw him on Jimmy Butler. It's like, what's going to happen there then?
You know what's going to happen?
You know KD just got to go for 50?
You know what the best defense is?
I mean, hey, I get it. That,
a really good offense.
No, I mean.
That doesn't win championships normally.
No, I mean, I said, I'm trying to take it with the grain of salt as well. Like, I don't want this to come off, for the people watching, I don't want this to come off as like, oh, we're overreacting, because this is not an overreaction.
We're
this,
not pressing a panic button. No, but these are all things that we.
This is what we see. This is what I see. Because
what I did notice, I said it. I was like, yo, they were flat on defense. And like, so, at times, I did see them try to pick up, and you probably did bring it up, because the times I did see them pick up, it was nationally televised games.
Yeah.
So, but it's nothing new. I at least expected to get
right
to get to for them to get right.
And so, like, and like going back to what you said there's a level of focus out there. I see that level of focus only in the offensive end.
Yeah.
And so
now they're going out there trying to outscore everybody.
Like, that's the only time I see a level of focus. Like, I see a lot of moments where DeAndre Jordan's telling, like, oh, you be here, you be there. I'm seeing a lot of, like, Kyrie, like, all right, yeah, this can happen here. This can happen here on the offensive end. I'm seeing a lot of KD making strong moves, strong finishes on that side. He did have one strong play on – he had multiple. But, I mean, there was one where I remember seeing it where he looked like KD, prime KD. He came from the help side, got the block, pushed it, came back, left to right, right to left cross, pulled, bang. I was like, oh, I like that.
I like that.
Like, I missed that. So, and so there are definitely moments where I'm like, okay, cool, that's him. But in terms of like the full game, and then like I said, that's Atlanta. As great as Atlanta is, as great as Trae Young is, comparable wise, like you're looking at the mob name for name, it's like, should they really be having 146 points? And so I think that's.
We've seen a lot of weird things. We saw the Knicks blow the Bucks out by 20. We saw the Clips lose by 50.
I mean, I got questions for everybody. And then, yeah,
we just started with the Golden State Warriors run on how it seems like everybody's just shooting 70% on the Warriors. It's been a really weird start to this NBA season where all up and down each and every team, like, why is Charlotte playing this well?
that was my bold prediction. I said Charlotte was going to make the playoffs.
I think that was. And I still think you're tripping.
You can say it. Okay.
I'm on track. But stick with it.
It's not on wax, actually.
I kind of just said it, though, so I mean, it's there.
It's not on wax. Well, Brian's bold prediction was Charlotte makes the playoffs. My bold prediction was Jaylen Brown is an all-star or some version of whatever they call an all-star. I don't think they'll have an all-star game. And then
we'll probably have something like that.
And we don't know who George is because you weren't on that show.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
You were asleep.
Yeah. I had to be.
Yeah, I understand.
It's all good.
I'll think of one for the next spot.
Yeah, so I just want to get the first impressions of Brooklyn. But moving forward, we talked about a little bit of the concerns we had for them. Are there any surprises or disappointments that you've seen in the season thus far?
Kelly Oubre. I'm sorry, I just got to keep saying it because it's killing me.
No, big facts.
Is he the biggest disappointment?
Yes. Individually?
I was about to say, personally, just because I just went through this whole Kelly Oubre, that's my guy, training for a year for him to come out like this. But
Is it the yips or is this a real problem?
I think it's a yips now.
Yeah.
Like, the first two games, I think it was just bad. And then I think the yips, because somebody brought up a good point of, like, another thing you got to remember about a lot of these Golden State teams, or a lot of these new Golden State players, is they've never felt this type of pressure before. Mm. This type of scrutiny, like, you're expected to make these shots because you're wide open. Mm. Steph got three guys on him.
Yeah.
You at least need to make one out of three. That's all they're asking for. And Oubre's at 4%.
I think he's gonna pick it up. I think it's personally more so the yips.
At this point, yeah. So that's probably my biggest individual disappointment.
Yeah, I didn't know how bad it was until the stats came out. And it was like he really only made one.
Man.
He's one for 25 from three.
And at one point, the only thing he hit were dunks.
He was like 0 for 33.
Just left hand bangouts, and that's all he could give you.
That was it.
I was like, man, and y'all know me. I love a good left hand bangout, but that's all you got?
And then they started putting the pictures out where he won't pass and out of double teams, and it was like, man is really the problem. He's the problem.
I'm the problem.
like I said, Wiggins has not been great by any stretch.
Wiggins, I could get on you too.
Bounds better than what anything.
But like, but Wiggins has been Wiggins though. Like especially the last three games, he's been like 15, 22, 16. Like, I can live with those with Wiggins because that's who he is. Like, granted, you want more, but he is what he is. Kelly been 7.
Like. It's awful. And I think it's the yips too. But when I saw it, I was like, I guess he is playing that bad. And like, I mean, it really didn't like click for me.
You didn't understand how bad he was playing until you saw the numbers.
So, I think that's a disappointment for sure. One of the surprises for me also, I don't want this to be the Golden State part. I also got another surprise. But it's definitely James Wiseman.
Oh, my God. I was wrong.
Wasn't a surprise for me?
I was wrong. I was wrong.
Hey, look.
I was wrong.
Starting the New Year off right. You hear that?
I was wrong. I said don't take him. Yo, I'm wrong. That boy's a problem.
I'm saying if they had Clay on that court.
Hey, man. He got the board. Caught the thing.
Oh, you talking about when he pushed it?
Which one? He's done it twice now.
Bro, he curled somebody at half court. And
I was like, wow. I like that.
And I knew he had that in his bag. I didn't think he was going to bring it out in the NBA, though.
He had it in the bag.
No, man.
I don't know what you were watching in college and high school.
I didn't see that. I didn't, especially in college, I didn't see it. I saw it a little bit in high school, but I've seen high school competition.
That man's skilled, bro.
Yes, he is. I know this now. Yeah, I'm wrong.
I was like, man, this man's really going.
Even when he makes mistakes, you're like,
you're cool. You're going to live with everything that he does at this
point.
But
he makes them in a way that you're like,
you understand.
Wow. He sees it.
Yeah, you understand.
He sees it. He gets it. Like, I was talking to Bo, and I was talking to Keith at the last Circle Sports mix-up.
Shout out
to them. They're doing big things down at Guardian Christian Academy. But I was talking to them, and we were talking about how he watches young boys play when he's recruiting, because he works with
Richard Bland
College. And he's one of the recruiters and assistant coaches, all that and the third. And he says, I always don't watch for the guys who's going 7 for 8 from three. I watch the guys who are trying to make a play and
half a second behind.
Or they make a move that's really, really good, but maybe didn't finish it this time around. I watch those guys because I know what they're seeing. And that's impressive. And if they can be consistent in scoring and all that in third, maybe they don't hit shots, you know, right away, or they start off slow. But when I see them playing the game the right way, that perks me up. And that's what Bo said. That's what Keith said. I was like, yep. I do too. And so that's what I see out of James. I see that kind of player where, yes, he is hitting shots. He is making good decisions. But then even the moments where we're like, you missed it, or bad pass, but good idea. Like, those moments make me kind of like, okay, this kid's going to be special. They got one in this guy. So,
like, even defensively, where he's completely lost right now, he has no idea what he's doing, which is totally expected and totally fine. He makes plays that you're just like, whoa.
I think, were we together? I don't think we were together.
Which one?
Where,
Christmas?
It might have been Christmas. Yes. Where he comes from, like,
he jumped from, like, the opposite block.
Opposite block.
To block a shot at the rim. It was like,
they need that.
And then you left and you came back. And I was like, bro, he caught one. Like, he didn't block it. He caught it. Like, one hand, snatched it out there. And I was like, yeah, he's different.
So he's been a big surprise for me.
Golden State's scary next year if Clay's fine. Like, I know it's this season.
Let's leave it alone. We do that every year. Let's leave it alone. Man. Let's just let Clay rest, you know? I'm not going to say in peace, because that's, but let him rest.
It would have been too much.
But
my biggest surprise right now has been how slow Denver started. Mm. Like,
that wasn't a surprise.
I didn't think they were going to come out the gate great, especially losing Jeremy Grant and Torrey Craig. I thought their defense was definitely going to take a hit.
Yeah.
But, like, being 1-4 and, like, they're losing a lot of close games and just, like, there's something off there. Jokic looks great, by the way. He looks
They might be
phenomenal.
Gassed a little bit.
It might be that. But then, like I said, I look at all the other teams that were in the bubble, and I'm like, they're okay. Like, they're doing okay. Like, there's something cool, a little off there. Will Barton had the weird quote at the beginning of the year. He doesn't want to be a sixth man.
Mm.
Like, I think there's just a little something there. I'm not saying it's a big issue yet. Like I said, I think they're going to be fine. They're going to be a playoff team, no doubt.
Of course.
But, like I said, it's just a little interesting to see them start this slow.
Okay.
Like, I thought Jamal Murray was definitely going to come out a little bit more in his flamethrower bag. And Jokic, like I said, he looks fine. Michael Porter Jr. to COVID, though, is sad.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Terry Rozier.
He's
y'all,
he's
no, y'all, y'all.
No,
heard
they
me
drafted Melo. This man This man feels fire to his feet.
I don't get it. Like
Devontae Graham's playing way worse. Like he looks tough right now.
Like is I don't know what makes Terry Rozier just get out of bed and want to play to this level randomly. But
it won't the contract.
I mean, he's hitting shots. That's all.
Clearly wasn't. He got it last year. I don't know what it is. It's just once in a blue moon.
Can we stop acting like Terry Rozier wasn't decent last year? He was good last year.
He wasn't. Devontae Graham outplayed him last year.
They were about equal in production.
And that's why Devontae Graham outplayed him last year.
So expectations.
Yes.
Okay. Fine. Whatever.
But like, nah, big shout out to Terry Rozier. I think that's one of the pleasant surprises that I've seen is the fact that I'm like, okay, if you can keep this somewhat up, then yes. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
All right. I guess this isn't a surprise, but it's something that I have been looking at since actually the bubble, is when is Kuzma's going to get moved and how much empowering are they going to give to THT?
Because won't be this year.
Won't be this year, but that THT.
Them THT minutes got to come, though. They got to be on the way. Like, I'm tired of it. I know Leek's not here, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this waiting game.
Hey, I'm ready for Kuzma to get his own team at this point. I need to see it.
THT's.
I need to see it.
That dude is nice.
Kuz, you know, I think on this podcast, a lot of people probably think that us three specifically have something out against Kuz.
Not at all.
No, I love Kuz.
We've actually had to break this down off air to make sure we weren't hating. Yeah. And we came to the conclusion that it's all spawned because of Leek. It's really Leek's fault.
It was Leek's hate of B.I. that spawned our antagony.
B.I. looks like he's taking another step, by the way.
And that was, and I can say this, if we're talking about, we know how some surprises, that was my pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Because last year, I was like, you know what? B.I.'s going to get, I didn't see him getting 25 a game, but I saw him getting like 22 last year. This year, I was like, all right, I think it's going to be somewhat to the level of what he did last year.
Maybe now, a little notch low. Maybe.
It's the way that he's doing so much more on the floor now. It's passing. Like, it's 100% looking like, I don't know, bro. The way he's elevating, we're going to start talking about B.I. and Jason Tatum and B.I. and Devin Booker real soon.
Oh, yeah.
Way sooner than people thought.
I don't know why we waited. Like, I don't know.
I talked about it last year, but then I thought I was a little too
needed enough. Like I said, I'm always a firm belief of you got to do it consistently. Yeah,
you got to show me again.
So he did it once. I was like, cool. That's what I've always expected of B.I. Now I need to see him take another step.
And the way that he started off this year?
Like, right now, there's no conversation of whose team that is in New Orleans. It's B.I.'s.
For sure.
Like, and I think it should be B.I.'s. Even as Zion ascends, I don't honestly think you can build a championship team around Zion, but that's a totally different discussion for a later date. B.I. right now is just looking, bro, he's looking like that All-Star was well-deserved.
Yeah.
Like, well-deserved. Like, no, this wasn't a fluke. It's not going to be I'm only going to be an All-Star. Excuse me, once every 4 years. Like, no, this is looking like I'm taking somebody's all-star spot in the West for years to come.
Yeah.
I might miss it this year, but, like, generally, by the time he's 25, it's like it's mine.
I'm going to be here.
It's mine.
And I like what you said. He's elevating. I talk so highly of Lonzo, right, in terms of how he's played and all that in the third. Every time I look at Lonzo's stats and look at how he's played, I conversely look at B.I., I said, oh, wow. It's really B.I. in this situation. Like, I love Zion. He's definitely the way he can play off ball and get buckets and score.
I think he's a phenomenal complimentary piece, and I don't mean that with any disrespect at all.
But Zoe gets so many easy stats, easy plays, just because B.I. is just that good. Like,
big shout out to Zoe because you still have to actually make the right decision.
Zoe is shooting better. He's playing better. His defense is solid. Like, he looks great.
Like, New Orleans looks like a solid team. They look like a solid team. I will say, and this is a conversation we had on Christmas Day when we were watching the game. I said, Zion looks like he's not as explosive as we thought he would be. And I don't know.
I chalked it up.
You said he was chilling.
Yeah, I chalked it up to, they probably told him you don't need to jump that high every time you score. Now, I think that was the mentality. I was like, you don't have to do that. Protect yourself. It was almost the, remember Dwayne Wade and even John Morant?
I was about to say John Morant.
You remember how they used to like always go up but never landed?
They did not know how to land.
They did not know how to land at all.
It was just
a crash, just a crashing plane. And so I think it was the same mentality. Like they kind of taught him, hey, control your body, score. When it's time to unleash, we'll let you know.
You're only going to have a couple of those a game where you actually have to go up like that.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of my question though with Zion now. Because while I do agree, I think he's a great complimentary player right now, and I think he definitely has an impact on the game. If he's not going to be that wrecking ball that we pegged him to be, how good is he really?
Oh, he's still good, obviously.
He's good.
Like, but, I don't know what to
like,
tell you.
But once again, like the thing was like when he came into the league.
Is he number one pick good if he's not doing that?
Exactly. Like, is okay, he really a franchise guy if he's not this wrecking ball of power and energy that has never been seen before?
I mean, because
his skill set's not that.
I've definitely seen it on the defensive end in terms of him like going to get blocks, going to make rotations. I've seen that on that side. In terms of him, like I said, being a wrecking ball on the offensive end, I wouldn't want him to do that. Because we saw what that looked like in Blake. Blake did that, and how special that was, all-star, all that in the third. We also saw his knees go.
I was going to say, it's not good for longevity.
So it's like...
You got 7 great years out of Blake.
So it's like, do we really want that? Just because we might get 7 when we probably might want him for longer.
I would say
he
might want 12.
But if he doesn't maximize that, like, that's the thing. Like, if he doesn't maximize,
you're saying, like, he has
7,
to go hard.
Not like, I'm not saying he has to, like, go all 100%.
In order to get that to maximize him at that number one pick.
I guess now I'm trying to figure out, like, when am I going to see it? Like, when is he going to show me that he still has it? Because right now, it looks like it's...
I'll wait to the playoffs. I mean, honestly, I'll wait to the playoffs. Like, it's a control. When you're that athletic, there mm-hmm. has to be some level of control. Especially, we're talking about, these are big bodies. This isn't Jordan. Fact. This isn't Kobe.
He's 280.
Vince.
He's a big guy.
Like, this is 6'6", maybe 6'5", some people are saying. Mm-hmm. 260, 270 pounds of a man. Like,
he's a freak.
You cannot ask that guy to go 45 inches in the air every time when you don't got to. When you really don't got to. I think he's still averaging, what, 18, 19, 22?
Something like that, I think.
22 in what, 29 like, minutes maybe?
No, he's playing more than that.
Like, he's doing great, if you ask me, in terms of production-wise. So, is the production going to change if
19-8.
Yeah. So, if the production change if I go 100 every game right now? Maybe by a couple points and a couple assists, but I really don't need that when I got B.I.
going bananas.
Like,
I think shout out to the Pelicans for letting him, because I was wondering when Zion got drafted, I was like, I wonder if they're really, when he's
gonna force him the keys. And it was like,
and I'm like, the guy who really should be driving the car is already there averaging 25 for you.
Right. And I appreciate that.
And it seems like they're gonna go that route, at least until maybe, who knows how big of a jump Zion's going to make when he does make a jump. Because this isn't the best version of Zion we've seen. He's a sophomore. So.
Yeah, like I said, I think he definitely can get better. Like I said, I want to see that energy again. Like, that's what made him so special.
It was really attractive.
So,
must watch TV.
I think it's there. I think we'll see it. I think in terms of all of that, we'll definitely get that. I think this is a good opportunity for him with control of his body to kind of like, get his feet right, get foot, like, movement, you know, fluidity with his moves. Not just feel like he can just run through everybody because, like we said, there's going to be a point where you're not going to be able to run through everybody. You're not going to be able to push through everybody. We're going to need to see you step out, knock down 18 to 20 footer. You're going to need to see you screen and pop. We're going to need to see you do a lot of different things. A Euro step, like a real Euro step. I put my shoulder in you, took a step to the side and dunked on you. Like, we're going to need to see all of that. No more his career refines down the line. And they're not going anywhere. B.I. is not going anywhere. Zion is not going anywhere.
Shouldn't be.
So this is supposed to... These are going to be the cornerstones for this team. If you want a chip, you're going to need both these guys to be...
No, I could say...
Skilled
as of right now, you know? That AD trade is as 50-50 even split as I've ever seen a superstar trade ever in my life. Lakers got a chip out of it.
I got to do research.
Lakers got a chip out of it.
It might be. I gotta think on that.
The Pelicans ended up with the number one pick and with what it seemed like to be a perennial all-star for years to come in Brandon Ingram. And honestly, could be your point guard of the future in Lonzo. Because he complements both very well.
Yeah.
And Lonzo, as quiet as kept. Ain't as quiet as kept. He's been shooting that thing this year.
Nah,
he's shooting 30%. Let's calm down.
Hey, he started off real high.
He's shooting with confidence, though.
That's what I'm saying.
He's shooting with confidence. I will give him that. He's shooting with confidence.
I didn't say he was in at a high clip.
He's an improved shooter.
He's shooting it.
I saw him come off a pick and roll and get to the basket. I was like, that's what I need. That's what I need to see.
I need that, and I need you to keep shooting.
How much you think LaMelo coming to the league kind of gassed him a little bit?
I don't know if it might have put a fire under him, to be honest. Because your little brother comes in and starts going to work and you still struggling.
I think just a little brotherly competition because They do have the little show on Facebook. His brother did say, Melo did say something to him while he was still in the Lakers uniform. It was a while back before the trade happened. Everything he said, ain't no way I'm gonna be in the game and don't score.
Did he score his first game of the?
I don't think he did.
Ain't no Lonzo texting that like more difficult than you thought. Like,
oh, it was welcome to the league. No, it was funny though because they were sitting at like a dinner table. I think it was like the Lithuania or something. I think
probably.
And Zoe was there, and Melo was like sitting back, chill, because he knew he's like I'm going to league at some point. He's like, bro, ain't no way I'm in the league and I don't score. And so I can totally see him saying that. So I think it was kind of funny. I think it kind of added to the fuel and said, like, all right, my brother is here. He's getting this attention, which, you know, I don't think he's jealous of at any point. Mm-mm. But at the same time,
Melo came into a better situation.
It'd be just like if you showed up at my school and started hooping, like, yeah. Hey, bro, I got to step my game up. You ain't outshining me.
Right. So I don't think it's any different. So, yeah. My last surprise, Christian Wood.
That's not a surprise to me. That boy's a hooper.
Yeah, I would say I learned last year.
My last surprise is Christian Wood.
Yeah, I learned last year. That boy's a hooper.
And I believed in him when I saw it.
I'm going to call it a surprise. I knew he was good. I knew he could ball.
I feel you.
I didn't know he could ball like this.
Is Houston a legit threat?
James Harden chills out, might be.
I'm going to say no.
Might be.
I'm going to say no. Honestly, every year I feel like there's... This year feels different. It does.
They had a guy like John Wall before. True fact. Chris Paul is kind of the same in terms of the style of play. Mm-hmm. They've had a guy like that before. They have never had a guy like Christian Wood before.
I mean,
and I think that's
shout out D'Antoni.
I think that's the difference in this moment. I think even when there was Capella there, like...
Yeah, he can't do what Chris
Paul. He can't shoot,
doesn't move as well.
And still protects the rim at a decent level.
No, Houston's really good, but honestly, I think I've just lost faith. I don't think I have any faith in the playoffs with anybody on that roster. And I think that's the issue.
I mean, so...
I get that.
Yeah, if you want to say you just don't have faith in James Harden, that's fine.
Or John Wall, to be honest.
But there's no way you can't look at this and be like...
I'm really intrigued.
Is it weird to have more faith in John Wall than James Harden? I just know John Wall's going to play hard. Like, I just know he's going to go
all out.
I'm
so glad League's not here. Because we'll be on this forever.
Yeah.
I just know John Wall's going to go hard. Like, if nothing else.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to argue who I have more faith in if it's John Wall and James Harden.
But yeah, if it's both at zero, I don't know what we're talking about.
But anyway.
But they're phenomenal players. I'm not hating.
I get you.
I'm just saying.
If you're saying you don't have faith in James Harden, John, okay, that's totally understandable. All I'm saying is, when I look at this Houston Rockets team and I put them on paper next to the Lakers, I'm like
they're losing in five again.
James Harden actually does what he's supposed to do,
we say that every year.
You're right. You're right. But maybe this is more so my point. This is what James Harden should be asking for. Like, this is the situation you should be asking for. Because there's nowhere for him to go now that's better than what he's got. There's nowhere. He can't go to Brooklyn. Spencer Dinwiddie's hurt.
He's hurt. That trade's dead.
That trade's dead. There's nowhere for him to go. Even Philly would not be as good as the situation he's in right now.
Not even the Heat.
Philly's playing well too. I don't think they are. They're not even thinking about moving nothing.
So
signing Seth Curry, getting Seth Curry was great.
Seth Curry, even Danny Green was good, just because of the fact you have to respect him as a shooter.
Right.
Like, there's nowhere for James to go that's better than what you have.
I hear you. I do.
So if I like say, right if I'm that. The Houston management and John Wall and all that, I'm like, dude, like if you show up and get 35, we can beat the Lakers. At least we have to believe that.
I mean,
I definitely think they can beat the Clippers.
That's just such a big if. If was the fifth, we'd all be drunk.
But at the end of the day, that's what everybody is right now. Everybody's like, we have to get to a point where we feel like we can beat the Lakers.
But
that has to be the thing.
With the Rockets, it's different. Like, with everybody ifs, it's like, okay, you know what? Your if is actually more of an if than a fifth.
How?
I feel like
you have more faith in playoff P than James Harden?
No. You said what?
You got more faith in playoff P than James Harden?
No, I have more faith in Kawhi Leonard. That's the difference.
Okay, fair.
That is the difference.
Fair.
Now, James Harden, like I said, a lot of people have ifs. James Harden just has fish. Like, he just, he's showing up just straight drunk. I don't know what it is. It's cool in the regular season because you can go straight from the strip club or training sessions to dropping 40 in his first. No, I'm training not. I'm sessions, actually not hating. I'm big parties, up in him.
Like, yeah, man.
If you can do all that, show up looking overweight and you just giving people work, shout out James Harden, man.
37? I think it's 37 right now.
Averaging?
Yeah.
He dropped 44 his first game back or something like that.
I think it's 37. But the he's issue going crazy. Is
like when May comes around, when April May comes around. What's he's going on? Right
now. 37 and 11.
Sheesh.
Yes, if he could do that in April and May, like that would be terrifying for
oh man
for opponents.
Legacy changing.
Like all I'm saying is this team is constructed well enough to challenge the Lakers.
I mean, it got,
that's all I'm saying.
I don't think it's
the team got deeper. The
they team, still got shooting.
The team is still cohesive. It's more cohesive.
They got like, bigs. They got defense. Like.
When I see all of this reflect mentally in their star player, their best, their number one option, when I see all of that come to light in him, I have to see it to believe it.
I feel and once
no,
again,
I get it.
Like I said, if you would ask me to put money on it, I'm picking the Lakers. Don't get me wrong.
I'm picking almost everybody else against the Rockets just simply because I just don't believe it anymore, honestly. I don't.
I understand. I feel
Rockets,
you.
Rockets,
I
understand. Nuggets.
That's very fair.
Mavericks, Rockets, Mavericks. Like, in those series, I'm sorry. I believe in a whole lot of more people than you, James.
That is totally fair. All I'm saying is they have a team that can't compete. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
James Harden broke
now,
my
is James
heart
Harden going to show up? That's on his legacy. Like, what's he going to do?
I mean, it depends on what's happening in May. It ain't no more concerts. You know what? Watch COVID in around early April.
I hate you.
All right, I'm done. I'm just saying, like, watch it in around just, early April.
All bets are off.
Everything's off.
Travis Scott having a concert, like, the first weekend of May, and James back on his BS.
Oh, man. Watch the IG stories pop out. Bro, this man on live.
Shout out James Harden, though.
This man on live.
One of the few people in the world that could walk from the strip club or the gym to a 44 piece. Yeah. You're a Hall of Famer, bro. Your jersey is going to be hanging in multiple buildings. Shout out to you.
That dude great. That dude
great. Had one more surprise.
You want me surprise?
Supreme Hooper, though. Supreme Hooper. Fact. Cannot hate on him. I'm just confused.
I don't know if it's a surprise or more so just like observation. The Wizards. Like
that's not a surprise. That's not a surprise. Who thought they were going to be better than this?
1-5?
I thought that you're right. I thought they were going to be 0-6.
Like, nah. Stop. I had an idea. They may be like somewhere in like 2-4.
Yeah, like I said, I was 3-3, 2-4. Like,
I think I thought that when Russ initially signed, I was like, okay, Brad Beal, like you have another all NBA type of player around you. You just came off a year, but then I started thinking about it, right? Brad, you just come off a year where he was averaging 30 something, like going bananas. Right. Were they winning?
Mm-hmm.
No. Russell Westbrook, has he ever been known for winning? Nah. So I just didn't. That's when it started getting deflated for me when I realized, like, it wasn't as if another star known for winning was brought around Brad. It was just somebody else who puts up numbers and loses.
Well, even with as much as
I thought it was going to be better because it was the East, though. I did.
Let's be fair. Like,
I can't say Westbrook doesn't Russell win at all.
Russell
no,
Westbrook,
I don't think he's like...
Russell Westbrook was getting in the playoffs in the West by himself.
Yeah, by himself. At least.
Like, at so, least. For him, I got to look at who they were playing again. And once again, just keep in mind who... They haven't won a game with Russ on the floor yet. Nope. So I want to pay attention to those games.
So they lost to Philly, Orlando twice, Chicago.
Orlando's a huge surprise.
Yeah, that is. Shout out Markelle Fultz.
Shout out Markelle Fultz. Got the bag, too.
Markelle's ball. Chicago twice, and then they beat Minnesota without Westbrook. Like, that thing, these are not good losses.
And yeah, so, I was about to say,
And so that's the problem.
Philly was the best loss they got.
Like,
Philly,
Orlando's a solid team, twice, but, like, you're supposed to split twice. With them. And then
Chicago twice?
Like,
yeah.
You're supposed to win those.
Yeah.
Like, that's you're supposed problem. To win those.
That's the problem for me.
You know, so I am a little surprised. I thought the Wizards were going to be better in this. That was a little surprising. But I'm not surprised because I can very well see why they are 1-5.
Well, I think it's more so like I watched the Chicago game. I watched like the second half of that game. And it's just like you see like Westbrook is just Westbrook again.
That's
but
what
he's lost a step. Like that's the thing. he's trying to be Westbrook MVP. He's playing the same style, pull up jumpers, trying to get to the basket. He's not getting to the basket as much though. He's not drawing as much contact, and it's just not as effective. But on the same token, it's like, dude, you have Bradley Beal. Just
give him the ball.
Give him the ball. Run the offense. Like, it's the question of, like, it still hasn't clicked for Westbrook.
I was about to say, you're asking him to do the things that we were asking him to do when he was with the Thunder and had KD and James Harden.
And it, I guess, like I said, it's this thing of, like, at some point you realize, you just think it has clicked. And I'm starting to realize, I think Westbrook is really going to go down. And I hate saying this. I feel like his career is going to end very similar to Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Where it's like, 1 year he was great, and then the next year he was just gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. Because he can't get out of his own way. And it's sad to say, because he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hooper.
Hooper, triple-double. Like I said, as much as I bash on Westbrook, like, I give him all the credit for his talent and his achievements. But this is what the thing I bashed on. He can't get out of his own way. Like, he should honestly just be focusing on playing good defense, setting up Brad Beal, getting 20 points a game. But instead, he's trying to do more. And it's like, relax, man. And the team isn't constructed well at all.
Either. No, it's
they're
not.
They're not a good team.
I mean,
team.
The
starting five is Thomas Bryant, I believe.
Yeah. Thomas Bryant's a solid
player. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to do Thomas Bryant like
the
that.
The problem is they got Isaac Bonga starting, which is just weird.
They do?
He started the two games I watched.
Oh, wow.
Like, they're not well constructed. So, like I said, I'm not trying to put it all on Westbrook and Brad, but it's like, y'all are too soon. Y'all supposed to be too soon. They should be the best backcourt in the East.
When you start 1-5, yeah, it goes on your two superstars.
But yeah, they should have the best backcourt in the East, like, hands down.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
But
yeah,
you're 1-5? At the two maybe most important positions on the board?
It might be Yips.
Maybe.
Mm.
I doubt it. This is normal percentages.
No surprise for me. That boy Jaylen Brown's a dog. Had to get that out of the way.
Jason Tatum hit a game winner too.
Yeah, they're going at it.
31 today.
Best young duo.
Gotta be.
They're getting up there.
Gotta be up there somewhere.
Callback.
Callback somewhere. Y'all know.
I'm
vibes.
Pretty sure we're not gonna ever get to say this at any other point this season, so I'm gonna say it. Shout out to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They're
playing some very inspired basketball. And I know that comes off as like an underhanded compliment. No, this is actually inspired. And as a person who's always hated on Cleveland, for all good reasons, I must say, I'm impressed. Colin Sexton, big shot. Y'all playing some great... Andre Drummond, great leadership I'm seeing out of y'all, man. I love it. I actually love it.
Yo, Darius Garland, I was skeptical. You definitely showed. You've taken a step.
I'm looking for you. You could go up a little bit. I don't like him, you know what I'm saying? But like,
I want to give y'all flowers now while we're here, because
big shout
I don't
out
think
Cleveland.
This is last.
I'm not going to bring that up. I'll ask
but Cleveland.
I'll ask after, because right now we're talking about good things about Cleveland.
You know what? If Chuck can say Portland can go to the finals.
No,
if
you
Portland
cannot.
Goes
no,
to the finals,
no,
Cleveland
no,
will meet
cannot.
Them there.
No, you cannot.
Cleveland will meet
you
them
cannot.
There. If Portland ends up in the finals,
cannot say that.
Cleveland will
cannot
meet
cannot
them
say
there.
That. Cut that. You cannot
That's
say
how,
that.
That's how, take that to bravado.
All I know is Dame better get to the finals.
I want Dame to get to the finals, all
he
seriousness,
better.
Bro.
He better.
Dame got to get the one.
That's my guy.
Dame got to get the one.
For all the, I'm sorry.
I want him to get the Dirk ring.
Just to bring everything full circle, if Dame and James don't get to the finals this year with the teams they have, I don't want to hear them talk about Steph ever again. Their teams are good.
Yeah.
Like, they're good. Get there.
Okay.
Y'all want to be in the conversation, get there.
I honestly would love for Dame to get a
I would love it, too. I rock with Dame.
AD.
I rock with
get
AD.
Get the dirt chip, bro.
I'll rock with Dame. But you want to be put in Steph's category, do it.
No, James Harden, too. I'm all about buckets. He's all about buckets. I don't see what the problem is. I'm rooting for you, too.
I think we're done. We haven't talked about the Lakers at all. Shout out to AD.
Don't believe you too.
Yeah, they're just being themselves. Are we worried? Are we still worried about the Clippers? Same problems, new year?
I don't want to talk about it.
They just lost by 50. So that was just...
Okay, last thing.
We need context on that game.
No, I watched it.
What's the context?
They couldn't make a shot and Dallas won't miss it. That was the context. That's context.
It was like 70 something to 20 something a half.
It was bad.
I think it was 77, 27.
I looked at my phone and that's when I turned it on. Because at first I didn't have it on. And then I turned it on for the second half. Like, okay, they're going to at least lose by like 15.
You want to know what bothered me? It wasn't the game. But we ain't got to bring that up no more.
Paul George after the back.
We ain't got to bring that up no more.
That's on me.
All right, so just last thing.
I can't stand him now, bro. I used to like this guy.
It's on me.
Playoff P. Way off P. So took the whole day off P.
I had a conversation with an old head, and he brought up, and he made an interesting point. He was, and I always debate with old heads because they talk about how bad basketball is now and blah, 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 blah. And some things I agree with, some things I don't.
Yeah, typical old head stuff, though.
Some things I agree with, some things I don't, whatever. But then he made a point. He was like, you're seeing it right now. In the NBA where there's literally a 20 to 30 point blowout every other night. And I was like, I thought about him like, he's kind of right in the sense of we've now gone to this spectrum of 3-point shooting is so prevalent and so needed where literally it just comes down to who's hot and who's not. And you're seeing that right now. I think the layoff has a big problem to do with it. Like I said, the irregularity of the season.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things, like I said, no fans. But it's bringing to a forefront of this thing of like,
who's in the trade that night?
Whoever's hitting that night is going to win by a good margin. Like I said, that's what happened to the Clippers. They couldn't hit a three. Dallas won't miss him. We've already talked about Golden State struggles. Same thing happened to Milwaukee. And then Milwaukee comes out the very next night and blows out Miami by 40 because they broke the NBA record in threes.
Yeah, what, 29?
It was OD.
Like, it's this thing of like, there's this large, and I feel like that's going to be the NBA for a while, where there's always going to be this large variance in games where you're going to win some games by 30 simply on the fact that you shot the ball extremely well. And then you're going to lose some games by 30.
You shot really bad.
Just because the other team hit shots and you didn't.
In the spirit of league, some people can't hit the three. Mid-range.
No, I mean, yeah, I think that's a problem. And
yeah, I guess it's my question. Is that a problem or is it just something we just have to live with now?
It's a problem in my eyes. It's a problem in my eyes. Okay. I think I look at it this way. If we're playing the game of basketball,
mm-hmm.
And this is the comment. This is the issue I don't like with old heads. Let me say this first. The issue I don't like with old heads when they say this, they're not playing basketball. They say, oh, you're taking all these threes,
That's not basketball.
That's not basketball.
They and love I'm like, that line. That tagline right there. That's not basketball.
That ticks me off. And I'm like, no, it is. It's just everyone should not be playing that basketball. There are more than one ways to play the game. Old heads all want to play inside out, put the guy on the post, let's kill the clock for 20 seconds, and
jump hook,
foul, go to the line, make one of two.
They came in an era where generally the best player on your team was your big man.
Like, I love my dad. One of the things he said, Christmas Day, and I talked to him after you fussed with him about it. He was talking about, oh, guys didn't miss layups back then. I said, that's no, Dad. The average is the average. Everybody missed layups about the same, no matter if you look at what, you know, time period. But he had a real old head moment because he was like, Steph misses so many layups. He misses so many. I'm like, ah. And then Bron gave him the stats and it was like, okay, it is what it is. And what my my father was trying to say, I get what he was trying to say. He was trying to say there's a lot of shots Steph can make because he's such a good scorer, but he misses because he feels like Steph is being lackadaisical with the ball. Or he feels like he's not taking this shot as seriously as he should for whatever reason because of his style of play. He looks like he's just not taking the game seriously. So it's all perception to him. In my eyes, I look at it, I'm like, no, that's just Steph. And that's just this NBA. But at the same time, the average is the average. So basketball is still being played. Everybody should not be taking these many threes. We've had this conversation before. Everybody should not be taking these many threes. Everybody shouldn't be shooting this way. If Paul George is on the court, there's no Kawhi Leonard. They have to look at, we've done it. I mean, we've done it when we hooped, you know, and we see, you know, all right, it's us five. We're outside, you know, playing pickup or we're in the rec or something like that. And we look around, we're like, all right, this is who we're playing. All right, this is how we're going to beat them. Like, I don't think there's enough of that. I don't think there's enough catering to the opponent in front of you.
Everybody just tries to enforce their style regardless right.
just
of whatever.
Trying to attack. Everybody, nobody's trying to attack anybody's weakness.
Yeah. Right. And so it's just pick, kick out, shot. Pick, kick out, shot. Pick, shot, whatever, lob. That's the game. My girlfriend said something to me. We was watching the basketball. She says, I can't tell the different styles of play the way you can tell. And I was like, yeah, I understand it. You don't watch it. Mm-hmm. But then I looked at the game we were watching. I'm like, oh, well, I guess not. I guess not. No, they're doing the same thing. Like, the exact same thing. And yeah. so, no, it's not as eye-catching. You can't catch it as simple as as easily as you probably could maybe in the past. I guess like that early 2000s maybe, where it really looked a little different. You could see the distinguishments in people's game because you had different personnel. Right now, everybody's just trying to be the same. And so I think that's the issue. So it's basketball. It's definitely basketball. But we have to, I think coaches, we want to start seeing coaches have to make the change of, okay, this is our personnel. I have to match, going back to Steve Kerr, going back to Doc Rivers, going back to Rick Carlisle, all these coaches we hold to high regard.
Greg Popovich. Prime example.
Where you're going to have to look at a team and say, okay, this is what I have in front of me. This is where I'm playing. And this is how I should go about beating them. I said on Christmas Day, why don't they change more starting fives? Like, depending on who you match it up with.
Yeah.
We do it all the time playing 2K. Like, I'm playing you versus a certain mob. All right, Kuz. You gonna start this game because I know that his starting five is all gonna go out one time, and I want to have Wes Matthews in the game to kind of shoot up that second mob or whatever case may be, yeah. whoever like or something to that effect.
One of the greatest examples I saw is when Vogel and I praised him on the pod when they played the Rockets and they changed the starting five up like throughout the entire playoffs. Right, honestly.
Yeah, he was doing it all season or so, that whole playoff run.
Those are the guys and those are the people that's gonna have to like. Change the way we view the game because everybody's so viewed in the positive. Or I'm a starter, so I gotta start. Like there's only two guys that gotta start. Your superstars. No. If you got two, you got two stars. Those are your starters. Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier right now are your two starters for Charlotte. If it's Brooklyn, it's Kyrie, KD, no doubt. Same thing for Houston. John Wall and James Harden, barring COVID. Like those are your stars. Everybody else is up for debate at that point.
Say Barr and COVID?
Like he's the person that's most acceptable.
Like I'm just being what? Honest.
No, I'm with you though. I'm definitely with you. And like I said, I think the biggest reason you don't see that though is the NBA is so ego. Everything's ego in the NBA. So you see guys all like I said, we talked about Will Barton already. It was like, I don't want to come off the bench. Like, that's a real thing for players in the league. It's a real thing in basketball in general. Like, I know I got kids on my team. Yeah, I know y'all watching who want to start. And they're not going to. Like, it's reality. So how do you deal
five.
With that? Huh?
I can only play
I only
five.
Can play five. I've told them, me and Lee tell them every day in practice. Only seven of y'all playing for real, if we're going to be honest. Just keep it 100. They know.
But I think that's what the issue of lies in. And that's been an issue for all. So, I mean, you could take that as far as back as the 90s or the 80s or whatever. You could take it back there. I don't care. Y'all old heads can lie if y'all want to. I know for a fact it's been an issue where guys didn't want to be benched or guys didn't want to come off the bench or they had an issue with not starting. I know it was an issue for certain players if they got more shots over the other or if the ball was going through another guy, whatever case may be. That's always been a thing. Basketball is basketball. The thing is, and it always comes down to, how can we go about diversifying the way we play? Because that is going to change the evolution of the game. The reason why football is so special, I'm on a rant low-key.
You are.
The reason why football is so prevalent in America is because we can see the different styles of football. It's different styles of game. There is no other team like Baltimore, bro. There is no other team.
Even within that same team, they have different packages they can bring
exactly.
out.
There is no other team. I love my... We cannot run the football. I think we had like 27 yards today.
He's talking about the Steelers, y'all.
I love my Steelers. We cannot run the football. It's an issue. But we pass rush like nobody else. Like, every team has that. Playing to their strengths. And then being able to adjust to the other team depending on what their strengths still are and how they can exploit them. That's what's special. And when the NBA figures that out and they get out of this mentality, I think D'Antoni not being a head coach, losing his job in Houston can play a factor into that. I think seeing a lot of these new young guys come in, like Silas, can play a factor into that. Seeing new looks. The new coach in Charlotte, I think his second year.
I forgot his name.
I can't remember his name, but I've been impressed with him. We're going to start seeing more young guys.
I say this correctly. James Borrego. Hope I said that right.
Like, you're going to start seeing more young guys hopefully try to adjust and make changes into how this game is played to add more variation, add more diversity. And when that happens, this game takes off and it'll be something special. And it would definitely help out the next generation because the next generation only sees us one playing one style. Like I said, I went down to watch these young hoopers play. They all did the same thing. All of them.
Yeah, it's cookie cutter.
And I can't hate on the young boys because
it's not their fault.
They're trying to make it.
It's not their
fault. And they be mad when you try to teach them something different.
They're trying to make it. But if the only thing they're seeing, one, there's so many guys who don't watch the game, which is a whole other conversation. I do not understand. There's so many young boys who don't watch basketball. But then at the same time, when they do, they only see one style. And so I'm just going to learn how to stand here, knock down my open shots. Or I'm going to learn how to come off this screen and throw a lob. Or come off this screen and take this shot. I was so impressed with the young boys who did not necessarily have the best stats, but they were out there. One kid had the best footwork, bro. I mean, some of the best footwork. I cannot remember his name off the top of my head. I had an interview with him. Y'all can see it on Heard It Here First. But one of the best feet out there, like Euro step, jab off, like great ball player. I can't wait to see him like actually start executing and becoming more comfortable with the shots he was taking. But in terms of his feet and getting to where he wanted to get to, he put a kid in jail, got out of it, sidestep. I was like, oh my, this kid is nice. And that is the stuff that has to happen because it'll help the next generation play the game better. So it's basketball. We just seeing one style. Old heads, y'all played one style too.
Y'all did.
It's annoying when I hear y'all talk about it. It's annoying hearing y'all talk about y'all played better defense when y'all held. It's annoying hearing y'all say y'all played better
basketball. We played better defense because we didn't have to guard anybody 20 feet from the basket.
I don't care. Y'all call it hand check, but y'all were grabbing jerseys y'all were legally. Y'all were fouling, bro. I do not want to hear it. It was no help D.
And then had the nerve to tell us growing up, move your feet, not your hands.
Your old people fighting.
Y'all the first one to call for a foul, but then to say, oh, we being soft. I hate it. Hate it. It's trash, all right? We're done here, man.
I'm good, man.
I don't know why I did that. I'm sorry.
Hey, I just let you go. I just brought a topic out, man. I just let you go.
That was a good topic. Thank you.
You good, man?
I'm good. Everything I'm good. Cool? I'm straight.
All right.
Don't like old heads do that. It's nasty.
I see.
It's nasty.
All right.
Oh, man.
We ready to get out of here?
Yeah, I guess.
I think we're good, man.
Shout out.
I think we got them all.
Shout out to old heads that don't do that.
Shout out Ja Morant, hurt. Get well soon, man. You was clicking.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. I tuned into a Charlotte versus Memphis game, I think. I think it was Charlotte versus Memphis. I was reminded that you weren't playing. I switched the game.
I ain't mad at you.
I switched the game. It wasn't working.
I'm not mad at you. Yeah, shout out to Ja. Say get well soon. Can't wait to see you back on the court. Shout out to Phoenix. 5-1. Off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
Just saw that coming.
Shout out?
No, I believe so, no.
Oh, games to watch.
Oh, dang. I ain't even got the schedule pulled up. Hold up.
Shout out to 94x50. They blessed me with this hoodie. I met them at an event, and they're just cool people, man. So, great hoodies. Great products. If y'all want to check them out. That's a free plug. But if you would like to have ads, if you'd like to advertise something here, hey, check us out. Hit me up. We trying to get to the money. You smiling.
Where can people find the hoodies, Greg?
We have 94by50.com. Yeah, or y'all can go to their Instagram and also purchase from there, I believe, at 94by50. So check them out. I'll put it below in the description.
Business.
Like I said, if you want ads, you want to market your product here, we got
that's,
you.
That's enough business.
We done? You sure? MinorHoopsGmail.com.
Why are we putting out? Oh, for a half second, I was like, why is he shouting out the email? But it's for the people who want to
support the business. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I figured they would just leave a comment.
I'm going to chill out because I don't want to turn into the guy that at, like says he has booking, but he don't got nothing to book.
No, as soon as, as soon as you put like booking in your bio, bro, like I'm holding you accountable. I'm calling you out for it every time I see you. Every time.
I'm like, what do you do?
I book.
We would be out in public together in the grocery store. I'm like, hey, yo, book him. What does he do?
I'm a spoken word artist. You can book me. I'll do that.
No, I mean, but you do something.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, you can book me. You can book me.
I plagiarize. You can, you can for sure book me.
Games to watch.
For sure. Anybody that need a paper or project done, ask about me.
He's a writer.
Oh that is, my god! That's gosh. What
he means. He writes.
They don't pay me. Plagiarizing those, though.
He writes.
He's a great author.
If you need something written, I'll put your name on it. No.
You make that decision.
Yes, he will write something.
It's not illegal. Just
and you get to make the choice and if to you read it or the written reuse
thing,
it.
Use the written thing.
Yeah, whatever. We know what we're doing. If you ain't
you
cheating,
you sign the terms and agreements. You agree to it.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
This took a turn. Games to watch. Tomorrow night, we got Dallas against Houston. Should be pretty interesting. I think I'm going to tune in. Luka versus Harden. On Wednesday, we got Miami versus Boston. This should be a really good game. And then on Thursday, we got Philly versus Brooklyn. Those are my three games to watch.
Yeah, I'm definitely watching that Philly one.
If nobody sits out, that would be a really interesting one.
Yeah, I'm watching that Philly one. I'm watching it regardless.
Yeah, probably.
I haven't watched a full game of Philly yet.
Me neither.
So I'm definitely going to try and pay attention. I said it once. We're getting out of here. I said it once. Dallas definitely misses Seth Curry.
They miss Seth, yeah. And they really miss Kristaps right now. They're struggling.
But as soon as Seth left, I was like, that's going to be hard to replace.
I mean, and Josh Richardson is playing well, but it's just
it
like.
Ain't Seth.
He ain't the potent, shooter. Bro. He ain't that potent. All right, y'all. Keith, you got anything, bro?
Luka does need to shoot the ball better.
Shout out 2020.
You shouting out 2020?
Shout out 2020.
Shout out 2021 for getting rid of 2020. And I'm going to take that back if something bad happens.
You know, lessons were learned.
Yeah.
Lessons learned every year, bro. I ain't have to learn them that way.
I mean, but I can't skip 2020 like shout out 2019. Shout out all the years. But, you know, ain't nobody shouting out 2020. It just happened. Shout out to it.
Shout out 2020, man.
We made it.
Shout out to the lessons learned.
Yeah. Shout out to all the subscribers and stuff we got.
Yeah.
You know, all the views.
You said the scammers and trappers.
All the scammers and trappers.
Mm-hmm.
All the plagiarizers.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Shout out 2014 since we shouting out years. I love that year.
That was a good year, too.
A good year.
Shout out.
Shout out to Carter, too. Let's get out of here.
Shout out 1995.
1995.
That one was cool.
That was a good year.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Shout out to Carter, 2 and Carter, 3 equally.
Shout out to Carter, 3 and Carter, 2 equally.
Touche.
Yo, we're gonna get out of here.
Touche.
Yeah, at this point, my leg is telling me like, shout bro, if you're I need reading some this. Blood. Like, I gotta get the blood moving, bro. I gotta stand up. We gotta get out of here.
All right, shout out to Taman's leg.
Yeah.
Hope you come back one day.
Big
one
up day. To the knee.
One day.
Shout out to B, coming from Petersburg.
You're right.
All right, man. Make sure y'all hit those like buttons, that subscribe button. You can shout find out to the like button. All the information is probably button. Like down below. I don't know what else you be saying, but y'all, this shout out stuff gotta stop.
Right? Shout out to the notification bell.
Yeah, the ding, all of that, bro. Yeah, but as always, eat, sleep, breathe the game, man. We out.
Shout out to eat, sleep.